Good morning. You know, it's just been a great day already. I don't even have to talk. We could just go to coffee. Everything that needs to be said is said, hasn't it? Gee whiz. We are in the month of spiritual freedom. We've been talking a lot about freedom over and over again. Freedom, and today's talk is freedom is just. Freedom is just. Freedom is just another word, right? For nothing left to lose. Who remembers that song? Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Okay. We all remember that little ditty? Freedom is just. It's just a quality of God. It is another quality of God. Freedom is just truth. Freedom is just truth. Freedom is a principle of life. Everything alive seeks to demonstrate its freedom. Everything. The worms that crawl in the earth seek to demonstrate their freedom to eat, sleep, reproduce. The leaves on the trees or the plants or the blades of grass seek to demonstrate their freedom to turn toward the sun, to manufacture energy through photosynthesis. Birds seek their freedom through flight. Bunnies through hopping. Wolves through hunting. We humans seek to express our freedom through choice. We seek to express our freedom through our ability to choose. Now, Viktor Frankl said this. He said, "We who lived in concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken away from man, but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. To choose one's own way. Our last human freedom, the freedom to choose one's own thoughts about anything." And how often do we relinquish that freedom? How often do we just thoughtlessly give it up? How often are we limiting ourselves by our own thoughts? How often do we frighten ourselves with our own thoughts? How often do we shut ourselves down by our own thoughts? How many times do we tell ourselves stories as if they are truth? But they're just stories in our heads. You know, things like, oh God, let's see, if this happens, then that's going to happen, and then this is going to happen, and that's going to suck, and I'm going to be screwed. How many times do we do that? We play out those stories in our heads over and over again. We have an internal dialogue going on all the time about how it's going to be, and what's going to happen, and what's down the road. And it's all a story in our head. We plan it out before anything actually happens. We've got it all written and scripted. You know, when I was in practitioner training, sometimes when we came in and we circled up together and after we prayed in, we would do an exercise. If someone came in with a challenge, and the exercise was high thought, low thought. Billy Francis, are you here? Oh, there you are. The master teacher, Billy Francis. We would do this exercise called high thought, low thought. If we were struggling with something, the instructor would ask us to expound on that, to draw it out. What is the lowest thought you can have about this thing? So say it was like online dating or something. I don't even think we had it back then. But just for example, you know, and it's like, oh my God, and you know, you're going on a new date with somebody, you don't know them, and you know, and the adrenaline is pumping through your body, and you're getting ready, and you don't know who this person is, and it's like, and you're thinking to yourself, this could be a serial killer, right? You know, I mean, the adrenaline is the same, whether they're coming to take you out or kill you. So the low thought, well, it's true, right? It's, your body doesn't know the difference. So, you know, we take it out to the logical conclusion. What is the lowest thought you can have? Oh, this is going to suck. Oh, this is going to be really bad. This is going to be horrible. We're not going to hit it off. We're just going to go out and we'll never see each other again. And this is awful. Why am I even doing this? And then we're asked for the highest thought. Oh my God, the highest thought. You know, we hit it off. We're like this. We're simpatico. We're soul brothers and sisters. And we get along fine. We have a great meal. We have so much in common. Down the road, you know, I can just see the the picket fence and the house and the kids and the dog and the, you know, all of that stuff. It's like high thought, high thought, high thought, out to its farthest conclusion. Either one of those stories are still just stories in our heads. But which tortures us and which comforts us? And where do you want to live? Do you want to live in the torture or do you want to live in the comfort? You know, same thing with, I can't pay the rent, I don't have a job, I need to find a job, but I don't have any job. And you know where that story goes, right? That story goes, we're homeless living under a bridge in a refrigerator box. There's no place, and then we die. There's no place else for that story to go. And the other story is, I keep looking, I keep putting one foot in front of the other, I find a job, I get a raise, I get a corner office, I get a high rise, I buy a condo, I live happily ever after. Wow, you know, that's another story we can tell ourselves. So do we want to torture ourselves or do we want to comfort ourselves? That's what high thought and low thought was about. It was about taken to their conclusions. They are both extreme ends of the same story, but they live on a continuum. Is the extreme end going to happen over here? Most likely not. Is the extreme end going to happen over here? Probably not. You don't know. Probably somewhere in the middle, some continuum of things keep getting better and better for us. But still, either one, they're simply stories we're making up in our head. And so what do you want to choose? Do you want to choose something that's going to torture ourselves? Do we want to choose something that's going to comfort ourselves? We are free to choose the story because none of it has happened yet. Ernest Holmes said this in Your Invisible Forces. He said, if we are certain that our lives are constructive and if our whole desire is to live in such a way as to harm no one and bless all, then I think we should place no limit on the possibilities of our future. And since everyone is an individual, you and I cannot rob anyone else by living as though we were whole, happy, and unafraid. Living as though we were whole, happy, and unafraid. There's nothing to be afraid of in God's world. For whether we are here or somewhere else, we are certain that Spirit doeth all things well. Spirit doeth all things well. And you know, we facilitate foundations class, right, which is the basic class that we take when we come into this philosophy. What do we teach? We teach about awakening to our thoughts. That's what this practice is about. It's about awakening to that endless narration that's going on in our heads all the time. And what do we say? Is this thought serving me? That's the question we ask of our foundation students. Is this thought serving me? Is it serving the me that I am today? Right? Or is it something from my childhood? It's something my parents taught me? Is it something my culture taught me? Is it something the country taught me? Is this thought my thought? Or is it something I inherited? And is it serving the me that I am today? And if not, what do I want to exchange it for? Because that's what this teaching tells us, right? Change your thinking, change your life. That's our tagline. Change your thinking, change your life. So if this thought is not serving me, if it's a fear thought, if it's a false belief, if it's something I was just told by somebody that I just took on as myself, my own, maybe I just want to get rid of it and I want to replace it with something that is more uplifting. Maybe I want to replace it with something that is truth. Maybe I want to replace it with a story that will raise my vibration. Maybe I want to replace it with something that will allow me to live in the potential instead of in the fear. What's possible? That's the story I want in my head. I want the story of what's possible for me. I don't want the story of I'm too old, I'm too fat, and I'm too short. I'm sorry. That is my story. But I'm looking to lose weight. Okay, so anyway. Where do you want to live? Where do you want to live? Because you're the only one inside your head. I am the only one inside of my head. Do I want to live in the potential? Do I want to live in the possibilities? Or do we want to live in the fear and the lack and the limitation? We get to choose that story that is in our heads. And are you willing to choose the best story and move forward with it? Honey, I ain't got time for stories of the downtrodden and the lost and the lonely and the forlorn and the forgotten and the feeling sorry for myself pity party country western stupid song about how awful it is. I don't have time for that crap. I don't think you do either. We have potential, all of us, no matter where we are in life, no matter where we are in life, no matter what path we're on, we have a path. We can put one foot in front of the other. We got stuff to do. Living in the potential opens us up. You feel it's a higher vibration right away. We live in the infinite possibilities. I know but one freedom, and that is the freedom of mind. It is the freedom of mind. Every thought we have is a jumping off point to the next thought. And that leads us back to that high thought, low thought thing. Every thought we have is a jumping off point for the next thought. So where are you going to take it? We're either thinking we're expressing freedom in our own lives, or we are thinking we are at the effect of the world. One is outwardly focused, one is inwardly focused. We are either thinking that we are making the choices in our own minds, or we're thinking we're at the effect of the world. This is, you know, psychology, they call this locus of control, right? We believe we are in control of the effects of our lives. It is said that we have an internal locus of control. If we believe outside forces are affecting us all the time and we are at the effect of them, that is an external locus of control, yes? And there are benefits and drawbacks to both, right? People with that external locus tend to credit their successes on everything outside of them, right? It was good luck, it was good fortune, it was kismet, it was whatever. They were lucky, you know? On the shadow side of that, when things don't work out, what? They get to blame everybody else. They blame everybody else but themselves, because it's an external focus. My boss, my job, my parents, the government, whatever. People with an internal locus of control tend to stick to their principles. They tend to stick to that internal guidance regardless of the conditions around them. They take responsibility for what happens to them. And of course, the shadow side of that is when things don't go exactly as planned or as they've planned, they blame themselves. And then they get to beat themselves up relentlessly. Relentlessly, right? Well, I think that in our faith tradition, we're the people of both and, you know? We're the people of both and. We've decided to have all of it. And I love that about us. You know, it's like the whole glass analogy, you know, the glass is half empty or half full. No, we're religious science. We have limitless refills. So we balance those energies of internal and external. We balance them through prayer and movement, right? How many times have you heard the phrase, treat and move your feet? One is internal and one is external. One is being and one is doing. We practice the balance of both, but we have to know when to be and when to do. That's the balance. In Ernest Holmes' Your Abundant Life, he said this. He said, happiness means that an individual shall live a normal, spontaneous life, a life that is free from all sense of burden, free from all hurt, misunderstanding, or doubt, a life leaving behind all morbid sense of living, not dragging any corpses of previous experiences with which to cast a shadow on the splendor of the day, a life anticipating no calamity, fearless of the future, unafraid of the past, and spontaneously balanced and peaceful in the present. Now, isn't that us? You know, that's who we are. That's who we strive to be anyway. We may lose the thought every once in a while, but that is what we strive. We balance being and doing. We balance making it happen and letting it happen. Because we do both. Making it happen means we do the work, right? We don't just sit in the apartment praying for a job. We actually go out and fill out some applications. You know, we take some interviews. We actually do the work. That's the making it happen part. We pray, we affirm, we vision, we read uplifting material that inspires us. That's the doingness. And we balance it with the beingness. We partner with the divine. We know this or better. When we pray, we know maybe not my will, but thy will be done. We are open to the action of divine love in our lives that free us up to an even greater degree of livingness. When we're open to that, when we are in our beingness, we surrender to that unknown, that ineffable quality of spirit that has an even greater idea of our lives than even the one that we thought would make us happy, right? This or better. I've got my own little idea, which is my own little slice of the pie, but Spirit's got the whole pie and limitless pies. There's not even any one pie. There's more than that. There's limitless amounts of pie, but they don't make you fat. Yay. When we surrender to that, we manifest magnificence previously unknown to us. We open to that. We open to the possibilities. You know that phrase, I know you've heard of it. I don't remember who said it. But standing in the field of limitless potential, I think it might be Deepak Chopra. We stand in the field of limitless potential. It doesn't say limited potential. It doesn't say, oh, you can only have so much potential. We stand in the field of limitless potential, and we get to pick and choose from among it what we will manifest. When we say this or more, in our prayer, when we say this or better, I don't even know what my highest good is, but Spirit knows. We surrender to it without trying to direct it and control it. Any control freaks out there? Are there anybody out there that like to control? Okay, so without trying to direct it and control it, without trying to limit it, and being non-attached to outcome. Being non-attached to outcome. We do the work, we move our feet, we stay non-attached to outcome, we strike that balance between making it happen and letting it happen. Because the letting it happen, and that's inviting Spirit into the life. The letting it happen is allowing that open door for Spirit to flow in and through and as and around our life. That it's that balance between the love and the law that we talked about. The balance between the love pointing the way and the law making the way happen. Ernest Holmes in, I love the name of this talk, Ernest Holmes in How Not to Worry. Don't you love that? I say to every doubt, arise, take up your bed and walk. Be strong, be confident, be unafraid. I say to everything that is little in my life, expand, increase. Believe in the greater opportunity. Know that you are one with good forever. Know that you are one with good forever. That is the freedom that we are. That is the spiritual quality of freedom that we are. We are free to think of thoughts of bondage, right? We are free to think of ourselves as limited. The very quality of God known as freedom means we are free to think of ourselves as trapped or limited. We're free and limitless. We are free to think of beauty or ugliness. We are free to think of ideas of unity or ideas of separation. We are free to think of ideas of love or ideas of fear. We are here to love each other. That's really why we're here, right? God is love and we are that. So we're here to love each other, not fear each other. We are humans here to provide love and support, nurturing, to be of service to each other, not to be fearful or suspicious or angry or condemning. We are here to uplift. We're here to uplift each other and ourselves. We're here to help the helpless. We're here to feed the hungry. We're here to house the homeless and not worry about how it'll make us look or what it'll cause. You know, I had a project I wanted to start here at Vision called Blessing Bags, and these were bags that we wanted to give out to the congregation that you could keep in your car, you know, that were just non-perishable items like socks and change and energy bars and things like that. We could just keep in our cars, and when we saw somebody on the street corner, we just hand them one. You know, just a blessing bag, just make it a little better for somebody. And I brought it up to a group and somebody brought up the fact that, oh, well, you know, the mayor's office doesn't want us to do that. The mayor's office doesn't want us to feed because it makes a mess and they really want to take care of it on their own and they, you know, it causes more mess in the city than blah, blah, blah. And you know what? Here's my thought. I thought about that and I took it under advisement and I took it to prayer and I thought and I went, you know, we're not here to make life a little easier for the mayor. For the mayor's office. We are here to make life a little easier for each other, you know? And I think government is here to make life a little easier for us, not the other way around. So I will continue with this project of funding and granting these blessing bags because, you know, this is what we need to do. We make life just a little easier for one person, for just someone else. And then that grows, and then that grows. So I'm going to finish where I started with Viktor Frankl in the book Man's Search for Meaning, because he said this: "For the first time in my life, I saw the truth as it is set into song by so many poets, proclaimed as the final wisdom by so many thinkers. The truth that love is the ultimate and highest goal to which humans can aspire. Then I grasped the meaning of the greatest secret that human poetry and human thought and belief have to impart. The salvation of man is through love and in love." That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. That's why we know what we know, and that's what we practice. We practice loving spirit, loving each other, and doing good work. That is our philosophy, and that's our prayer, and that is our practice. Thank you so much.